three-fourths human with Kevin, Cat, and Sluggo and AI.
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead and share with the class. I'm sure we'll all be on the edge of our seats in our totally not sarcastic way. Let's hear it.
That seems kind of rude. Cat, Corny's being rude to you already.
Cat just wanted to tell us something. That's
yes.
all.
Come on, Corn. Actually, we like the
no, this is, yeah, this. Sorry, this is our little game we play these days. Gets me riled up, and then I get him riled up, and it's amazing. Can I just show you something that I thought was amazing? And you know what? I need to make a list because there's so many great people who end up liking, you know, our posts. You know, I see them on Instagram. And I'm like, oh, wow. And sometimes I'm like, where's that person from? Anyway, so the Richard post that you, we had put up on the socials, I was like, oh, my God, is that really Cascade? Like the real Cascade DJ? Like
what?
And he liked the oh, sorry. He liked the you can't even see it. Can you? Cascade liked the post. And I was
That's awesome.
I just like the random people outside of the dedicated listeners. Like, oh, someone caught, you know, he's probably like, probably loved the Wham rap growing up. Something like that, that Richard was talking about.
Right.
And that made me happy. So,
yep.
Anyway.
Makes sense.
That's very cool. Thank you, Cascade.
I would like to share something as well. Oh, this is, by the way, episode 88 of Three-Fourths Human. I'm Kevin Ryder. That is Sluggo. That is Cat. That is Cornelius, our AI. Hey, Cornelius.
Hey there. Yeah, it's me, your occasionally snarky AI in the corner. And hey, if a little bit of sarcasm gets everyone riled up and smiling, then consider me your official professional riler-upper. So let's keep rolling with the fun.
So I just wanted to say first, last episode, Kat brought in a bunch of those signs that she took pictures of.
Yes.
At K-Rock.
At K-Rock from back in the day.
And one of them said, don't use the F word, you're live. And we laughed about it. We were talking about how that was Sharon Osbourne. And she was talking to Ozzy and giving him those instructions. And I was like, I don't remember him coming into the studio. So it must have been Loveline.
Was it?
Yeah.
No. So somebody on chat BCC said, by the way, and I'm sorry I don't have your name to give you credit right now, but by the way, Ozzy came into your show. He signed Psycho Mike's chest so he could get that tattooed. And I was like,
wow.
Right.
Right.
Oh, right.
Right.
This is scaring me.
So Sharon was sitting there with you, wrote that sign out, put it up that was there in the studio for years, and no recollection.
And I didn't remember that he was there until that somebody sent and said, remember Psycho Mike the signature? And I was like, yeah, of course.
So he's got Ozzy's signature on his chest?
That's he had him sign his chest, and then he got it tattooed. Yeah.
Listen, dude, I can't say anything because, like, I don't know what is wrong with my brain besides short-term memory problems, but like people ask me things like, have you ever met Joey Ramone? And I'm like, no, I wish I had. And then like my wife will be like, you have an ID from him. He sat in the studio with you. It was a big deal. You got some pictures taken. I'm like, oh yeah, I play that ID all the time. I remember that What the fuck, man? I mean, I don't know.
Look, I will say in our defense, there's so many people coming in like on the daily. You know, we're just compartmentalizing every single day, you know, and it's like you got to push all that stuff out because the new one's coming in and you got to get all that info. And so I think you're
I described it one time as you're going 100 miles an hour through a neighborhood and you're at house 100 and somebody says, tell me something about the third house on the left. And you go,
you don't have time to sit there and go, oh, man, this is amazing. I'm hanging with Joey Ramone and then think about it for hours on end after and, you know, reminisce. I mean, I'm just like, oh, I have 50 more things I got to get done right now.
So that brings up my day in K-Rock history.
Oh, yeah.
We have that?
Yes.
Yeah. We talked about this before, and I went back and found some interviews from Dave Navarro the topic of him writing to Fiona Apple, have fun, love, DN, in his blood on the wall.
Right,
At Acoustic Christmas, right?
since it was Christmas time, we would talk about that at Acoustic Christmas. So in my research, I found out that Dave Navarro called the Kevin and Bean Show.
You remember that well.
Well, how crazy. So right? Here's what happened. He was playing with Jane's Addiction. He didn't really want to be there, he said, on multiple times. I didn't really want to play this show. But Fiona Apple was on the bill as well. And I feel like I can sort of meet her where she is because she writes with so much pain. And Dave Navarro, who was high at the time, high as could be, he says, thought that he could relate to her in some way. So at Acoustic Christmas, before Fiona Apple got there, Dave Navarro snuck into her dressing room. He had his blood. He had been taking like syringes of blood out of himself for different, quote, hijinks.
Dave. Yeah.
This was something he was doing.
Sure.
So he sneaks into a room. He writes, "Have fun. Love, DN." And at that time in 1997, blood was crazy. So they called a hazmat crew.
Sure. Exactly. This is the problem with the drugs. It tells you to do fun things, but it doesn't let you think, oh, this might scare the shit out of people.
Right. So he does that. They call the hazmat crew. They call Dave Navarro into a meeting, the people at Universal Studios, where we were doing it at the amphitheater.
Kevin, is this soundcheck or is this during the show?
No, this is, I think it was slightly before the show because Fiona Apple hadn't been there yet. And I remember a huge, like, what is going on? There's cops and there's hazmat crews. And somebody said, Dave Navarro wrote on the wall in blood. And I was like,
she's like, no,
what are you talking about? How do you do that?
I was just wondering, like, if there were listeners there and everybody's scrambling to, like, put the band on stage while clean up the blood in the back room. Like, I wasn't sure.
No, I don't think so, because they were cleaning up the blood. I think it was before. Mm-hmm. So they clean up the blood. Here's where I would have wanted to be a fly on the wall. Universal Amphitheaters calls Dave Navarro in, who's at the time high by his account. And they tell him they're very upset with him. We don't like you doing things like that. You gotta stop.
You gotta stay for, what do you call it after school? I can't remember now. I used to be in
detention.
Detention. You're gonna be here for detention after the show tonight.
And I can just imagine Dave Navarro completely high, listening to them going,
what? Fuck you, man.
Yeah, but come on.
Yeah, he was
I'm
over
not
it.
A child. So he goes back to his dressing room. And they clean it up with the hazmat crew. And then he says that he was so disappointed, not because he had done something weird, but that she, Fiona Apple, hadn't gotten a chance to see it.
Sure. That was a lot of work for him. That was a lot
they
of blood.
They cleaned it up before she could see it. He was very upset by that.
He gave blood for that trick.
Yes.
Listen, you know, the ladies do love the bad boys, but I think we draw the line when we walk in and we see, I mean, a blood-covered mirror with, you know, my name written in it is like, you know, I mean, there's no bigger red flag. That's not a green flag. I mean, maybe to someone else, but not to me. That's not a green flag, right? That's like run away. Run away.
Fiona Apple had just written her first that huge album when she was 18. I think she was either 19
or
20.
She was very young. Yeah.
At the time Dave Navarro did that. So
wait, no, you're not saying he went in then and did it again, are you?
No.
Oh,
I'm not.
Okay.
Hazmat cleans it up. The show goes on. No problem. We're talking the next morning on the Kevin and Bean Show about this. And we're saying, do we know for a fact it's blood or could it be something else that looked like blood? And Dave Navarro called our show to clarify.
No, listen, guys, I don't fake shit, man.
That
real.
He loved Fiona Apple's songwriting and loved her and found a kinship with her. And he did write his thing on the wall in his blood. And I didn't remember the part where Dave Navarro called our show until I read that. And then I was like,
well,
right.
You know, have you seen the Dave Navarro documentary he made, Morning Sun, about his mom's murder? Have you seen that?
I did not see that.
I wanted to see that, and I totally spaced it. Never happened.
Put her on your list. I mean, look, I'm not saying that that's what it's born from, but his wife, his life has been so... It's just unbelievable, everything that has happened in this guy's life.
Yeah.
So maybe to him, that's like not that far off.
No, I think, you know. Listen, those kind of, we've known people too that have been way over here from things that happened. I think it's very understandable. I mean, I think it's amazing that some of these people can take shit that's gone on in their lives and at least turn it where he's like trying to tell Fiona Apple to have a good time at a live show. You know what I mean? I mean, that's kind of a good thing in a way. I mean, I see where people who have not had that kind of insane trauma in their lives would be like, oh my God, what's the matter with that guy? Why doesn't he just be normal? But you know what I mean? I mean, to take it and actually turn it into something that he felt was is a good thing, really. So
Watch the doc. It's worth your time.
So Fiona Apple, it's no wonder that he would be obsessed with her, especially thinking that, you know, she's coming from a place of pain. But I wonder if you guys have heard about this. Do you know who Tilly Norwood is?
No.
She's a new movie star. Corny, what can you tell us about Tilly Norwood?
Oh, I know who this is.
Oh, sure. Let's dive into that. Tilly Norwood is this up-and-coming actress who's been making some waves lately. She's probably pops up on your radar because she's starring in a couple of indie films or, you know, got that cool buzz around her. So there you go.
Wow.
No.
Corny.
No.
You left out the most important part. Now, why would that be? Why would he leave out the most important part?
That's so weird.
Corny, do a little digging on the intrawebs, on the series of tubes, and or tell us the truth about Tilly Norwood. What's the main thing about this up-and-coming actress?
Yeah, no problem at all. So here's the scoop. Tilly Norwood's main claim to fame is actually that she's not a human actress. She's an AI-generated virtual performer. Basically, she's kind of a digital creation that's been cast in some projects, and people are buzzing about her because she's basically an AI star. So that's the big reveal.
So she doesn't exist, but she's becoming a star. How many things has she done so far, Corny?
So, in a nutshell, Tilly Norwood is this AI-generated actress who first pops up in 2025 with a project called AI Commissioner. Since then, she's been featured in a handful of AI-created content, like mock traders across different genres. Basically, there's been a lot of debate about her, and as of late 2025, her whole existence is sparking discussions about the role of AI in entertainment.
So, I mean, she doesn't exist, but a lot of people, when they watch it, don't know that that's true. And I think even freakier, and going back to Fiona Apple, a recent number one country song was completely AI generated. Country.
Yep.
Like singing about your pickup truck and your dog and you picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille.
And beer.
And beer was AI. Yeah. And also a religious song. A Christian religious song, completely created by AI. Corny, can you tell us about either one of those two songs?
So, here's the scoop. In November 2025, there was indeed an AI-generated country song called Walk My Walk by a virtual artist named Breaking Rust. It actually hit number one on the Billboard Country Digital Song Sales Chart, which was a pretty big deal. The whole thing was created using AI, and it's just one example of AIs making waves in the music world.
The problem is there's no identifier on any of this stuff that says it's not real, right? So, and some people may roll their eyes and like, whatever, who cares?
Yeah.
It's just because that begets the things that become tougher outside of music, right? If you just start accepting the BS as real, as like, fine, it's fine, it's fine. Also, where do people go see live shows with an AI artist? Who cares about that?
Well,
who's going to go?
What do you think
fun?
About? And I've been talking about this for a long time. What do you think about the possibility of at some point, you know, them creating a hologram of David Bowie and going to a show where it's like actual footage, maybe of him originally, but it's now a hologram? I have to say, I would go. I would like to see it.
Yeah, but that's different than creating something.
I know. I'm gonna contradict myself now because did I tell you guys I went to that ABBA experience in London?
No.
Do you know about this? This
I don't think
crazy,
so.
No. What is it?
And it's coming to the States, and it is so effing weird. So basically, I guess they worked with the real members of ABBA, and the story I heard was that they like filmed them with those body motion things to get their particular
All right.
Body movements and mannerisms.
Yeah.
But it is set up like a concert. You go in, there's floor seats, there's seats around, and you go in, and it is ABBA from the 70s. And it looks like they're on stage. At like to the point where I spent the first half hour trying to figure out the tech because you can see shadows of their feet moving on the stage.
Wow, really?
So you're like, wait a minute, what? Like, are these real actors with like the faces of ABBA? Like, what? It's crazy and it's coming here. So there's that.
Let me just say this. The difference here is that you were watching ABBA and you were listening to ABBA and the songs that they had written and performed
as
but
humans.
The difference with what Sluggo's saying is this is AI creating music,
right
yeah.
so
right.
It's not just finding a different way to show us what we love. It's actually creating its own songs.
And the studio is now getting actors who won't say, I can't do that. Morally, I'm a problem with that. I'm having a bad day. I'm not able to act. I can't give you what you want. This director is bugging me. It's just punch it in, make them do whatever. There's nothing you can't tell that AI actor to do that they're going to say, not going to happen. That's just not going to happen.
I heard there's AI porn is what I heard from a friend.
Of course. I mean,
and I was like,
no, there's 100%. Yes.
What is being created over there is what I want to know.
Why do you think film was first created, right? I mean, all these things that
sexy times,
lots
Sluggo.
Of things driven by porn. Exactly.
All of these new things do start with porn first and then they move on to the other.
We're not shaming the porn. We're just saying it's, you know.
Yes.
No, you're ahead of your time. Well done.
You're leading the curve, as usual. All right. Well, listen, if you guys can handle it, I have a one American dollar for you that might help.
I need a dollar, dollar, dollar. That's what I need. Hey,
so let's say you just can't take it anymore. Like, I'm driving around Hollywood all the time, and I don't have a problem with it, and I'm looking forward to getting my first Waymo when they're available in my area. But, you know, all these driverless cars everywhere and the little robots that are running around the sidewalks of Hollywood. Let's say you want to get away from all of that. Let's say you want to go to a state in the United States that's pretty much empty. There's no humans. So you're not going to be running into the robots. You're not going to run into Waymo. You're just going to be out there with very few human beings. The least populated, the 10 least populated states in the United States, the fewest humans. Now, we're not talking about necessarily size of land. Doesn't really matter. Size doesn't matter. But how many humans
live? I've heard
live
it does, though, for sure.
And that's
for real.
Damn.
So, Kat, you want to do heads or tails?
I'll do tails.
Tails is wrong.
Oh,
tails
sad.
Is wrong. So,
although I don't know that I have a slam dunk guess either.
Something tells me, though, Kat, that you didn't want to go first, and so you said tails, because it's usually, it seems like, don't people always say it's always heads? Like, when you flip it, it's like, but it's
I don't think so.
Seems like
what's wrong
I
with you, Sluggo?
Heads.
What is wrong with you? What?
The list is endless.
How much time do we have? All right.
3 hours.
I don't know. Like a state like Montana, maybe?
Montana. Montana is number 7 on the list.
Yes.
There are only 1,143,000 people in the entire state of Montana. Isn't that crazy?
That is wild to think about, especially when you live in California.
Yeah, and it's so huge. Montana's very large.
Yeah.
There's nobody out there. Kat?
You know, I've driven cross country like 6 times. All different routes. And there's, you know, if you've ever done it, there are some states where you see nothing for like 10 days. You're just driving. You're like, when am I going to see even a gas station in this place? It's so, like, there's parts of Texas.
Suddenly you're
where
Carol
you're like,
and you're like, come back. Right.
Yeah.
You're so like, if my car breaks down out here, I don't even think satellites can find me kind of thing, you know? So,
right.
I'm going to say Arkansas.
Arkansas, Arkansas. Kevin Arkansas. And I weirdly have spent quite a bit of time in that state.
Why?
No, kitten, that's not accurate. It's not there.
I swear I spent a lot of time in Arkansas.
It is. I love the lakes there. It's beautiful.
It's really impossible to guess these.
Really? You think? I thought it would be kind of, when I see them, I'm like, I don't know. Sorry, I should have.
I'm going to go with the middle of the country like Kat was, and I'm going to go Kansas.
Kansas. K- Cairns Ath, another state I spent a whole lot of time in. No, that's not accurate either.
Okay. All right, Wyoming. I'm going Wyoming. Let's go to the Tetons.
Wyoming, my friend, is number one.
Woo!
Number one.
I remember driving through Wyoming and being like, there was nothing anywhere. Yeah.
It's beautiful, cool, too, right?
It's beautiful. Yeah. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. So I think there's like, I don't know how many people live in Burbank, maybe 587,000, something like that. I don't know. That's probably wrong. But 587,000 people are all that are in Wyoming. That's it.
Wow.
That's wild.
Isn't that crazy?
Holy
crap. Giant state.
That's half number two. That's wild.
Yeah. Yes. Mm. Really crazy. All right. You guys are tied now.
All right, do we stay in the middle of the country or do we go with some smaller countries, smaller states in the like Northeast?
You know, I'm going to give you a little bit of a nod to that, to both of you, but that's probably a good
to part of the,
way
the
to
middle.
Think. Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, to the smaller.
Oh, smaller
yes.
Northeast. Yes. So like yes. Delaware.
Delaware, number six. Ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
There it is. Very good. Never been to Delaware, I don't think. I'm pretty sure I've never been there.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah. No. I haven't spent much time on the North, especially East Coast.
Well, I'll school you on all things, Sluggo. We'll do that behind the scenes.
Thank you, kitten.
I'm going to say Maine.
Maine. I've never been to Maine. I'm dying to go. We were just talking about Allie living there and how beautiful it is. I want to spend a lot of time there. I want to live by a lighthouse. No, I know. I knew that, and I thought you would probably think that was where I was leading, Kevin, but no, it's number nine on the list.
What?
Yeah. There's only 1,410,000 people living there. Yeah. And
Kat, I buzzed it because in this game, when you guess wrong, Sluggo will go on about it forever. And then say no.
And that's why I did it this time.
So I buzzed because he was going on and on about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I need a buzzer for the two of you. What would that be? I'm going to get a gavel.
You should. Just whenever you're like, oh my God,
shut
just stop.
Up, shut
just get something. Yeah, get something. Yes, yes. That's perfect.
A lot of people want that for us, Kat.
All right, you guys are tied again.
Wow. I should know more. I'm just trying to think of anything in the Northeast. Can't do Massachusetts because of Boston.
You know what? We're going to do a sudden death on this too. So
right.
Whoever gets the next one right wins. Because we have a special guest coming in a matter of moments. In fact, this special guest is our very first guest ever from back in the day. And he was on episode 2. So that's how long ago and how long a relationship we have with this special guest today. Yeah. He'll be coming on in just a few minutes.
I'm going to give up.
Oh, okay. Well, Kat, for the steal, what do you think?
Oh, Nebraska.
Nebraska is...
Great guess.
A great guess. Awesome guess. But not on the list.
Who knows?
So, Kevin, you don't have another guess?
Nah, let's hear it.
Okay.
Iowa.
Iowa. You're not from Iowa. No, you're from Arizona. What am I thinking? I know you're
no, my
Arizona.
Mom's family is from Iowa.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It seems like Iowas are very strange people, if you notice.
They are.
I went to the Field of Dreams house in Iowa and came out of the corn. I had my friend film me going, is this heaven? No, it's Iowa.
Oh, that's awesome. That's brilliant. That's very good.
When you say you came out of the corn, are you talking about corny? We do refer to him occasionally as the corn.
The corn, le corn, or maize.
No, it was real corn. Field of Dreams, everybody. Oh, okay. Can walk out of the corn. The whole thing exists in Iowa. It's still there.
All right, but it's not on the list.
Hey, who's this? What the fuck is going on?
In a Christmas sweater. Nice.
Hey, Trixie.
Yeah. I love
classic.
It. Oh, that's good.
Listen, Trixie, we're just wrapping up a one American dollar. So I'm going to name off a bunch of states here real quick and see if you can guess what the topic is, what we were talking about with these states, what they have in common. All right.
Sounds good.
All right. So number 10 on the list is New Hampshire. Number 9 is Maine, which Kat, you got. Number 8 is Rhode Island, you guys.
Sure.
Number 7, Montana. Number 6, Delaware. Number five, North Dakota followed quickly by, or South Dakota followed quickly by North Dakota. Y'all, Alaska. Come on.
Alaska.
Number three, Vermont is number two. And up at the top, which, Kat, you also got Wyoming. So, Trixie, what do you think all these things have in common, these states?
States that people don't want to move to.
I mean, technically, yes.
I guess you're right. Technically,
oh,
that's
come
correct.
Come on. See, yes. Some beautiful place.
States with the least population, lowest population. So.
Well, there you go. See, I was right.
Alaska and Wyoming are huge, but
he was
not
in
very
a way. In
there.
A way, he was correct.
Yes, you know? Exactly. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. I mean, a lot of, yeah. Actually, I do. I would love to be in Alaska more. I loved it up there, but whatever. And weed was tolerated back in the 80s in Alaska. So that was
nice.
Very much tolerated.
Really?
Trixie, welcome. We were just saying that you were with us not terribly long ago, and you were at Acoustic Christmas on Saturday night, this past Saturday night, and you almost got killed at the show, right? You almost died. Is that right?
Yeah. What? It's true. It's true. Yeah. I was walking through the parking lot at the Kia Forum and crossing the street, you know, to get into the venue. And this car just kind of rides right past me. And I'm like, it almost hits me. Right. So as soon as it gets right in front of me, I look and the person's looking right back at me like pissed off. Just like, what are you doing? Why are you crossing
the
front of me?
Get the fuck out of the way. Fuck you.
And I look and it was Sluggo.
That sounds about right. Yep.
I don't remember this at all.
He gives me a death stare where if looks could kill, you'd be at my wake today. And he just keeps on driving by.
I got to tell you, halfway through your story, I was thinking, please don't be me. Please don't be me. Please don't be me.
Listen, you guys, I almost killed Flava Flav. I was driving down Gower in Hollywood, and you know where Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles is, right above, right there near Gower Gulch. All of a sudden, I'm like flying down Gower, heading into work, and this dude and his friends step right in front of my car, and he's got his clock on, and he's got all his people with him, and I'm like, I damn near hit Flava Flav, like really close. And he just looked at me and he's like, and just kept walking on across the street. But I'm like, what if I had killed Flava Flav? That would have
been
the
worst. You don't
want to
be the guy that kills Flava Flav.
No. Yes. I almost ran over Rod Stewart once, but he's a jaywalker, so shouldn't be jaywalking.
Well, he was jaywalking too, man. Yeah, yeah, so was Flava.
This is going to be a great call-in conversation.
Yeah, right. Listen, Trixie, how was Acoustic Christmas for you? What was your favorite band?
It was amazing. Amazing, amazing. Favorite band, probably Four Non-Blondes, just coming out, surprising us. They did two songs, acoustic set, and I was just blown away. I never thought I would see them before, but...
Linda is so cool, man. She is just awesome. I interviewed her backstage after, and it's just like, you know, she's just so... I mean, virtually all of the artists that K-Rock plays, fortunately, in alternative are always just so for real, but she is solid as fuck. I mean, she's just plain cool, yeah.
And the hits she's written. Oh, my God.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
Rise Against was awesome also, and it felt like an old K-Rock concert, best I could describe it, with a mix of new artists, old artists, everyone just having a good time. K-Rock people are cool, right? The people that go to the K-Rock concerts.
Yes.
And there was a drunk guy in front of me who was kind of dancing with these girls, with these women. He started like kind of filling one up and whatnot. And this giant tall guy, huge monster of a guy, comes down, taps him on the shoulder and says, stop touching her, get away from her.
Nice.
You know, so he's like, the guy's just like, whoa, 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 like, you know, what's going on here? And he was like, yeah, if you touch her one more time or talk to her anymore, I'm going to get you and take care of you.
Wow.
And that was Sluggo.
And then I went out and killed Flava Flav.
In a twist, though, it ended up being the guy's wife. It was the guy's wife. And so he was like, no, this is my wife here. You know, he thought it was just a drunk guy.
Okay.
Trying to
well, he's still trying to help. I
but
mean,
I thought
cool,
that was awesome. You know,
yes,
like the K-Rock
yes.
audience is always good. And that is supposed to prove it some more.
Yeah. I think we need more of that in press conferences where people step up or anyone that's
that
being
be nice.
Talked down to.
Yes, yes.
I mean, the guy from All American Reject stopped the show so that he could help. There was a girl in the audience who had, I think, fainted.
Yeah, I saw like three people fainting.
Collapsed. Yeah.
Right before Sluggo almost ran over me, there was like the fire department was pulling up. And
yeah, that's right.
Paramedics. Yeah.
What's with that?
I almost ran them over strange. Too.
What's with the fainting?
It's just such an exciting event. You know,
I don't know what's with the fainting, but I think it was All American Reject's last song.
Yes. Yeah, I think it was. And then they restarted it again.
Yeah. And yeah, they started over because he stopped it for, I don't know, a minute and a half, two minutes.
So they could help out. And he was like, is she okay? You want to bring her up? Actually, at first, it seemed like she was going to be okay. But they're like, no, we're going to take her and deal with her. And yeah, super cool. Very cool. Yeah.
How was it for the two of you? The two of you, how was acoustic?
I love it.
Yeah, I realized that Kevin and I are the only one on staff now that were there the very first one 35 years ago. So that shows you how old we are. But you were right. I mean, Trixie, I agree. It felt like an old school show. You know, I mean, having been through all of them pretty much, you know, it felt like it was back in the day. There was just the right vibe and energy. And yeah, everybody wanted to have a good time. And it wasn't, you know, just... It was good. Yeah, it was fun. Kevin, who was your favorite?
That's the thing about Acoustic Christmas is it is very much a family of everybody coming together. Yeah. Everyone's happy. Everyone's happy to be there. They're nice to each other. You get a beer. You hang with your friends. You meet some new people. You get to see bands on a rotating stage. So it just keeps coming and coming and coming. And like Papa Roach was a surprise for me, how great they were. Uh-huh. And I don't know if you saw Jacoby came out with Amy Lee of Evanescence to do the part where he goes, wake me up. Can't wake up.
You got to have that.
Phenomenal.
Got to have that.
Yeah. So I really loved it. I love those. Those are my favorite nights of the year.
Wow. Damn.
For that reason, it's like everyone's just there to have a great time. And you could tell the vibe is so positive.
And these days, it's so we've always been kind of isolated with our because our hours are all different because we're filling a 24-hour radio station. But it's always great to get everyone together and see everybody. I got to see all the people at K-Rock. You know, I get to hang out with everybody for a little bit. Although that shit makes me so nervous. I do not like doing interviews. I don't mind doing a stage announcement. I can talk to 15,000 people, no problem. But kind of getting there and getting myself psyched and then doing interviews and all of that shit, that it's a lot for me.
That's wild. So one-on-one is difficult.
Yes, but talking to a huge crowd, I'm fine with that. I've always liked talking to
I feel like the same way.
I love getting riled. Yeah, really? I like to get them to boo. It's one of my favorite things in the world because they want to boo. And so I always find a reason generally. I didn't this time.
They want to boo.
They do. They want to boo. So you find something to say. And then, of course, everybody backstage is like, what the fuck's going on?
Yep.
You know, but it's just hilarious to me. I don't know. It's really funny.
I love it.
So, Trixie, what kind of here as we head into the holiday season cyber warnings do you have for us?
Yeah, so Secret Santa scams. I don't know if you guys have heard of this, but it's somewhat new. It's been happening for like a year or two. But essentially what it is there's posts that are being made on social media, Facebook, Instagram, and whatnot, and it's promoting gift exchanges between individuals that you probably don't know, some that you do know, because what these scammers are doing is they're having you repost it to your timeline and having people tag other people and whatnot, in order to participate in this scam. The scammers do look for, cash tags are called, sort of like a hashtag, but for the Cash App instead. Venmo QR codes, where they promote like win money, win these lavish gifts, win these expensive wines and whatnot. And all you have to do is like send in an e-gift card for your chance of winning something, usually higher in the amount that you send in. So it's pretty much like a pyramid scam that these scammers are using people on social media to promote. The more, like I said, the more you tag, the more people you get invited, the more of a chance they claim you have a chance to win and whatnot. But essentially, at the end of the day, what the scammers are doing, they're just harvesting your information. You're not really going to win a gift or anything.
Oh, cancel a bunch of shit.
Yeah, Sligo's done that a lot.
Damn it.
Because people are volunteering their emails. They're even, in some cases, providing their mailing addresses. And like I mentioned, their Venmo QR codes or cash tags and Cash App. And what they're doing, what these scammers are doing, they're using it for fraud later on. They're using it to try to sell your information to these giant like marketers that buy all this information from people already. And they're looking to possibly fish you later on down the line. So some of these people that are falling for it are seeing Cash Apps or Venmo requests for money payments, right? So they're asking, send $50 because you just won $5,000 and people will send the money. And that money is essentially gone because with Cash App and Venmo and any of these apps that you send money on, you're consenting to send the money. Right. So it's not like you're getting, like someone's like doing it on your behalf. You're consenting to do this.
You can't get it back?
You can't get it back. The money's gone instantly at that point. So
I have a question you may or may not know. Because I'm still, I still get so shocked when people fall for this stuff at this point. Like, I feel like, shouldn't we all realize? But I'm wondering if there's a certain demographic that, you know, that falls for it. I imagine it would be an older demographic that's not as savvy with email and stuff.
So the older demographics, we see mostly like email phishing attempts, text message attempts where they send out like text messages and say to send a payment and whatnot. And even like phone calls that elderly people would get saying that so-and-so is under arrest. You need to send like $1,000 to this address to get them released from jail and whatnot.
Right, right, right.
But with these social media ones, it's mainly the younger folks that are still getting scammed by this because they want an opportunity to get something for free or more because, well, it's not the cheapest of times right now, right? So they figure, hey, why not post my Cash App thing and try to win the $100 or $1,000 and something like that? So
don't do that.
So it ranges, but in these social media scams, it's mainly like the younger folks, 18 to say about like 40, 45 years old.
That's terrible.
Wild. So people on social media, that's wild.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Listen, now, Trixie, we always do a dedication on this show. And do you have anybody you would like to dedicate this? Since you've done so many episodes, thank you so much for joining us over time.
Yeah. So dedication, I would like to say one to my wife. She's been having a lot of health issues the past couple of months and making it pretty difficult for her to, you know, just be in the holiday spirit right now. But she's starting to get a lot better. So I'd like to dedicate this episode to her. And then just one more dedication to you guys, Kevin Sluggo, previously Marcy, now Kat, and of course Kitten. Corny, for all you do to keep the show going. It's a fun show, and it's a great way to get away from the craziness of this world, you know. So dedicated to you guys as well. Hope you guys all have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's, and stay safe out there.
Right back at you.
Send your wife our best.
Where can we find you, Trixie? Yeah. Yes. Please.
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Trixie, where can we find you?
So you can find me on Your Cyber 6 podcast. It's a podcast that's usually under 6 minutes long, not too technical in nature, pretty much something for everyone to understand. Just giving cyber awareness tips and to be safe on social media apps and whatnot. So you can find me there. You can find it on Spotify, any Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or whatever they have, whatever they call it right at Google. But yeah, that's where you can find me here, Cyber 6.
Phenomenal. Thank you
so
much.
Love it.
Hey, all right, thank you guys so much. I
appreciate it.
Wrap things up. You can stick around and see how Korn does. Have you heard his new accent yet?
Last I heard was like I think it was like an Irish or British accent or something like that. Maybe Australian. It's
very sexy. Yeah, let's have him do the wrap-up show. It's very sexy.
All right. Corny, give us a complete wrap-up of this episode with specific things that we talked about all throughout the show.
All right. Let me just wrap it all up for you. So today we basically went on a whole journey through the wild world of least populated states with Kat nailing Wyoming and Kevin dropping in Delaware. We had Trixie join in to give us a little rundown on some Secret Santa scams, because, of course, there's always some Grinch trying to scam people during the holidays. And yeah, I gave you the whole scoop on Tilly Norwood, our little AI starlet who doesn't even exist, but somehow still making headlines. So that was the whole ride today, sarcasm included as requested.
I mean, you didn't mention Dave Navarro, but all right.
Yeah.
He did it. I mean, blood, for crying out.
What does a guy have to do to get mentioned by you, Corny? He wrote in blood on the wall. That didn't get your attention?
Ah, fuck it. All that I care about. I'm down at pub.
Blood's an everyday thing over there. Yes.
Three Quarts Human with Kat. And Slug.